10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is Dr. Tom Iannelli, and this is the Croc Podcast. You're sitting in your doctor's office. You were just told that you had breast cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer, liver cancer, lung cancer, and you're there to talk about the plan for a cure. You're nervous, you're scared, you're anxious. Your doctor walks in the room, sits down, looks at you in the eye, and the first thing you're expecting him or her to say is, tell me about your lung cancer. Tell me about your prostate cancer. Are you a smoker? How much do you smoke? How much do you drink? Tell me about your family history. But this time, your doctor doesn't say that. They say to you, what is your essence? This is Dr. Tom Iannelli, and it is Wednesday afternoon, so this is the Croc Podcast. I am here to welcome you across the way. My godfather in podcasting, my spiritual brother, Professor Angel Santana. Happy Wednesday, Angel.
Croc Nation, we missed a very important day. Whose birthday was it? Dr. Tom Iannelli. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Oh, man, it's so good to see you, man. It's so good to be here, and great intro. I'm excited about today's episode.
Today is going to be a great day. We have a lot of great things to share. I wanted to just kind of, you just got done with surgery. You're looking very, very good. You have some color to your cheeks. You walked into your doctor's office, and I know your doctors. Actually, we did a podcast with your doctors. Very, very animated and very personable guys. But in general, when you walk into a doctor's office, you really don't get that. You really get, it's all about business. Everyone's busy. You're waiting for a bunch of time sitting in your underwear, and then all of a sudden doctor comes in for 2 minutes and basically asks you very directly about what's going on, a specific issue. But really, let's think about cancer for a second. Cancer is a very different animal. You're sitting there, you're scared to death. This is life and death. This is big stuff. And I think that what we're going to talk about today is actually that detachment and how we can move our Croc Nation to try to engage their doctors, their nurses, their healthcare team to become less detached. I think that the model that we have, and I think the greatest metaphor or analogy for this detachment is in the surgical suite. So you just had surgery, and we have an expression in the medical jargon. It's called, we're going to take the patient, bring them into the room. We're going to anesthetize them, and then we're going to prep and drape them in the usual sterile fashion. So exactly what does that mean, prep and drape? So it's actually much more profound than you think. Prepping and draping a patient before surgery is a way of course, cleaning off the area, sterilizing the area, making the area accessible, making the area safe to enter in order to do the cutting and snipping and whatever needs to be done within you. But there's such a ritual. It's such a process where really what we're doing is we're taking you as a human being and we're deconstructing you. We're basically taking the top part of your body if we're doing a lower procedure, or the bottom part of your body if we're doing an upper procedure. And we're basically taking that completely out of sight. So there's not one part of you that we could see. And then we take the small area. Let's say you're going to have an appendectomy, and we make this small 8-centimeter square. And that's really the only piece of skin that you see, that the surgeon sees, that the surgical tech sees, the anesthetist or whatever, that they see this small little, exposed portion of skin. And that's basically the metaphor for what I'm talking about in medicine that we're going to try to reverse. It's that detachment. It's taking a person and breaking them down into a very small region, the small region of interest. So what I say to people is this is the culture that we're going to try to change. We want to bond. We want to make a bond with our patient, and we're certainly not going to bond with them by being very directed or busy or short with them or basically running in and out of the room and getting to know nothing about them. As a cancer patient, you are not a slab of meat. You're not a prostate. You're not a breast. You're not a colon. You're not a lung. You're a very special creation from our Lord, from our Creator. You are billions of years in the making through evolution and cosmic spiritual tinkering and refinement. You are a self-contained, gooey, protoplasmic piece of perfection. That's what you are. You are not a lung. You're not a prostate. You're much more than that. And I actually have the advantage of being able to teach medical students in my practice. And when I go into a room with a medical student for, let's say, for example, a breast cancer patient, I'll sit down, I'll introduce myself. In the beginning, before coronavirus, I would give the patient a hug. And now, unfortunately, I have to give them an elbow, but hopefully that'll disappear soon. And I'll sit down and I'll ask the medical student, I'll say, what do you think is the most important first question I should ask this wonderful cancer survivor here? What is it you think I should ask them? And I get all sorts of answers because they look at me like I have three heads. They say, well, if I were sitting there, I would want to know if they felt a lump in their breast. If I was sitting in your chair, I would want to ask if there's any family history of breast cancer. If I was sitting there, I would like to know if they're having any pain or if they're having any discomfort, or if they had a mammogram, where they had their mammogram done so I could take a look at it. And I look at them and I say, well, those are all very good questions, but I specifically asked you, what is the first thing that you're going to ask your patient? And I try to teach them the first question that should come out of your practitioner's mouth shouldn't be about what you're there for. It should be to try to find out a little bit about you. Now, I'm not talking about stalking you or being a very creepy person. I'm talking about just getting to know your essence. And that's the title of today's episode. What is your essence? So you're much more than your cancer diagnosis. Before you got cancer, you were a person. You were a mother. You were a father. You were a son. You were a daughter. You were a neighbor. You were a coworker. You were an amazing person. And I think if you're able to connect with your patient with that first question, what is your essence? Tell me a little bit about you. I just jotted down a few notes about over the last 35 years, some of the most amazing things. And pretty much every patient I meet is amazing in their own way. But there were a couple of notable things that I've gleaned over the years. And had I not asked that question, I would have never, ever, ever gotten any of this. So I have met people whose essence is the most popular essence that I ask a patient is their families. And many of them will say, my essence is my family. It's my husband. It's my wife. It's my children. It's my grandchildren. There are people who are educators. I have spoken to clergy and journalists, principals, superintendents, prisoners, actors, musicians, Grammy-winning producers, animal lovers of all types, farmers, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, and I mean that exactly, Indian chiefs, military heroes, astronauts, first responders, policemen, firemen, 9/11 survivors, families of 9/11 victims, kids, grandkids, hobbyists, fishermen, bowlers, quilters, collectors, nature lovers, bird watchers, hikers, triathletes, marathoners, immigrants. And every single one of these patients has a great, great, great story. I'm reminded the story of a wonderful man who happened to have met Babe Ruth in Greenwood Lake in the 1930s and got him to autograph a baseball that's sitting right on top of his mantle place in his home. I've gotten to speak to prisoners, reformed spiritual people who are regretting and remorseful over their acts and now are suffering with cancer. I have met clergy members. I have met deacons. I have met cardinals. I have met the highest of the high in all churches, all sorts of people from all over the world who are in the clergy, who are spiritual people, who are suffering with their cancer, and they have great stories to share. Some of them have met the Pope. Some of them have been in conference with the Pope. I have met people who have met presidents and listening to their stories about the time that they met John F. Kennedy or the time they met Barack Obama or the time they met, George Bush. I have people who have military stories, heroes. When a patient walks in wearing their hat that they were a Vietnam veteran, a Korean War veteran, I want to know what ship they were on. I want to know about their experience overseas, what it must have been like to fight in a war, to have someone shooting at you. Animal lovers, some of the most interesting people with some of the most interesting animals. I've seen anything from the domestic, garden variety cats and dogs, to exotic pet owners, people who are passionate about saving pets and about rescuing pets, people that are branded on one particular breed of animal, horse lovers, people who compete with horses, doing cool things like polo or doing steeplechase and all that kind of stuff. Farmers who are suffering in this day and age, hardworking farmers who are the backbone of our society, suffering with cancer, and how they talk to them about their black dirt. Angel, up here in the Hudson Valley, we have that rich, rich black dirt up in Pine Island and over in Warwick, where the ground is so fertile for some of the best and sweetest onions that ever have been tasted throughout the world. There are chefs in Europe who probably pine for these Pine Island onions, right? I have met famous doctors, wonderful doctors like Dr. Shapiro, who's a cancer survivor pioneer. We talked about Dr. Mullen. We've met very important lawyers and politicians and senators in our travels with cancer who have been, who have stories to tell. The sad stories about 9/11 and some of the more inspiring stories of people who survived 9/11. Many people who've been exposed to the 9/11 environment, whether they be first responders or actually survivors, are now coming down with cancer from the exposure they had from that mess. I remember meeting a doctor that I treated who basically helped Bob Dylan dry out from his heroin addiction when he got in a motorcycle accident up in Woodstock back in the day, and he couldn't go to the hospital because he was a heroin addict. So one of my hippie friends who I treated for cancer, he and his wife took Bob Dylan into their home and dried him out and detoxed him from heroin and helped him heal up from his motorcycle accident back in the 1960s. I've talked to people who have been world-class fishermen. I have talked to bowlers. When you talk to a bowler, you ask them, did you ever bowl a 300? And their eyes light up and they shine and they say, wow, I can tell you the day I bowled the 300. That's like a golfer getting a hole in a one. That is like a great experience. And I have talked to people who have hiked and climbed mountains and people who have done the most remarkable things in triathlons and marathons. And the immigrant stories might be my favorite because I come from immigrant family and the way that they got here. I have taken care of Cubans who basically came over in little paper boats to get to the freedom of this country. I've spoken to some people from Asia who were escaping from Cambodia and the Khmer Rouge regime that was, you know, performing genocide, and they had to take their children and they had to take them through Thailand, through refugee camps, who basically were being chased through the night, had to keep their children quiet, otherwise they would have been killed. Just a remarkable, amazing stories. And if we as your practitioners, if we as your caregivers, as your doctors, your nurses, if we don't ask you who you are and we just assume what you are is just a breast cancer, is just a lung cancer, just a colon cancer, not only do we lose that opportunity to bond with you, we also lose that opportunity to get to know you, to be inspired by you, to hear your story, to give us that small little thread that then we can use and take forward, because we want you to be a long-term survivor. We want to be able to continue our relationship, not necessarily as a detached medical team, but as your friends, people who care about you, who pray for you, that want you to do well. And I can't tell you how many times when I do my follow-ups, I absolutely have something to connect with that person. I'll ask them how their fishing is doing. I'll ask them how their quilting is doing. I'll ask them how their kids are doing. I have a wonderful lady that we're taking care of whose children are fantastic athletes and are getting Division I scholarship opportunities. And these are all such interesting stories from such interesting people. These are people that are not just cancer patients, cancer victims, cancer survivors. They're vibrant, interesting people that deserve to be gotten to know. They deserve to be treated as such. They deserve to be part of this process. You need to invest in that. So the take-home story to my colleagues in the medical field, oncologists, nurses, physical therapists, occupational therapists, nutritionists, get to know your patients. Medical students, the most important thing you can do is to get to know your patient, get to know something about them, and tell them something about you. You don't have to get too personal. Again, you know, everyone has their comfort level. I said even in last week's podcast, I would love if every practitioner gave their patients their cell phone number, but I can't ask you to do that, nor can I ask you to tell them about how many children you have or what your hobbies are. But you would be shocked to see, when you humanize yourself, when you open yourself up, when you seem interested in the lives of your patients and you tell them something about you, you would be shocked how far that goes. You would be shocked about the act of good faith that does, that is a key that opens up a door. It opens up a door to a kingdom of intimacy. And I say that with the most utmost respect, where intimacy and friendship and caring and spiritual, you know, connection really does play a part in the therapeutic process of the cure. So as I do every week, sometimes I'm out to preach like I did today and last week. Sometimes we're going to be talking about heroes. Very soon, we're going to have some really cool people talking to us from Europe and the United States about nursing care for our cancer patients and shared decision making. It might be a talk, an instructional talk about prostate cancer or colon cancer. You never know what you're going to get in this hodgepodge of what we call the Croc Podcast. Angel Santana, I would love to open it up to you to see your thoughts. If you have any questions or comments about today's short but sweet and hopefully impactful podcast.
I would like to just say that, you know, I think that as a patient and one that, you know, first and foremost, a big shout out to Dr. Borby and Dr. Hoffman, who did perform my surgery. They did a great job. And also, we would be remiss if we did not also wish, and you included, of course, Hospital Week for everyone, for all those hospital workers, all those heroes that do everything they can to keep our way of life safe and comfortable, which segues into what we were talking about. I think that, you know, the bedside manner and in some aspects has gone away. And I think that, you know, building a relationship, a foundation with your patients, is a great example of how you both can become a cohesive unit, a team, to battle, you know, a disease, to battle a, an issue, to battle, you know, a surgery, and knowing that you have that hero, that person you can tag in, for better lack of words, or to be metaphoric, it really reigns true as to what is lacking, what is missing in that industry. And I'm speaking, of course, as not as your producer, as a patient. And it's some comforting to know that that is how you introduce yourself. It's not about the white coat, as you stated in the very first episode. You know, it's about putting yourself, let me phrase that, putting your patient first before yourself. And for that, I just say, you know, kudos to you.
I think it's really important for us to do that. And then, like I said, on this podcast, we are trying to break down walls. You know, as we always tell a story or try to make an analogy, that fourth wall in acting where the actors try not to break that wall. They want to try to keep up that acting. And in medicine, you know, there is a bit of acting. I mean, we come in and we all have roles to play, right? The doctor has a role, the nurse has a role, and we have these sort of artificial rules to our roles, what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do, what's taboo, what's not taboo. And many of the things that you're going to get on this Croc podcast is taboo. It's really untraditional. It's really something very different, out of the box. And I ask you, as the Croc Nation, don't you deserve a little bit out of the box? Don't you deserve to be treated more than just what you are inside, as far as what your cancer is? Don't you deserve to be recognized as a human being on a human journey with interesting stories and important things that your caregivers should know about? And that's the whole point of this particular podcast, is to inspire my colleagues to sort of take that leap of faith, my colleagues to take that risk, that gamble. It's almost as if I know several, not many, providers who will actually break down the wall to the point where they'll feel comfortable enough to pray with their patients, which I think is beautiful if it's indicated and if the patient is open to that. But even not getting that drastic, just something small, a small token of intimacy to make your patient feel that they really are not just their diagnosis, that they're a person, that their providers appreciate the person, because at the end of the day, they're putting their lives in your hands, their family members. You know, get to know their family members, get to know their husbands and wives, get to know their names. Remember this name. I remember last week we had a confessions module, which we talked about a patient who really didn't have a good experience. And I mentioned part of that, you know, again, I didn't use excuses, but one of the problems was the masks. We don't recognize each other. I came and there were two patients waiting for me today. I walked into a room. One was a consult. One was for a follow-up. And I literally walked into the follow-up and I thought it was the consult. And I started doing the consult, but it was the follow-up because I couldn't recognize who anybody was until the nurse said, "You're in the wrong room." And I go, "Oh my God, this is terrible." So, you know, especially in coronavirus times when we're wearing masks and we really don't know what our patients really look like and they don't know what we look like. Yeah. You know, I happen to be lucky. I happen to wear sports jerseys, so I'm pretty, you know, distinguishable from the average bear. But if it wasn't for that, they wouldn't know who I was and I wouldn't know who they were. So these small little things, you know, your patient isn't a prostate cancer. He may be a fisherman. He might be a state senator. He might be a college athlete. He might be a father or a grandfather. He might have raced stock cars. He might be a nuclear engineer. Who knows? You won't know unless you ask. So please take the time, introduce yourself, find out a little bit about your patient, tell them a little bit something about you, and believe me, the juice you will get back is some of the most potent, inspiring, uplifting juice you will ever get practicing your profession. With that being said, we end our podcast as we do every Croc podcast. We wish blessings and we wish peace to our Croc Nation. We thank and are grateful for Angel Santana. Have faith, let it begin. We thank Rod Freeman, our great social media expert at Small Biz Up. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, our benefactors and patrons. Angel, you stole Michael this week to do a podcast with you. I'm going to have to count the silverware before we're done with these podcasts if you keep stealing my guests.
And he's coming on again. So
I bet he is. And Greer Cooper, God bless Greer. Yes. And as always, I leave you all with the greatest, greatest heartfelt phrase. On behalf of Angel Santana and myself, we wish you a very long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. Until next Wednesday afternoon, this is your friend, Dr. Tommy Anelli, driving the Croc Survivorship Bus. I will see you next week, my friends. God bless. Have a great week.